Well, hello everybody. So good to see you all and hear you, and definitely keeping those things you shared with us, dear brother, and the updates that went with it. There's no shortage of things to pray about. There's many things we can just talk about, but praying and living those prayers, that is quite another realm. And without the Holy Spirit, not possible for man and woman. So welcome on this 27th or the 26th of July, on this cold or warm climate that you might be experiencing. Glad you could join us. And I'd like to share a small story with you all. Before we get started, one of Australia's greatest maritime disasters, the Centaur, Australian hospital ship, on 12th of May 1943, it sailed unescorted from Sydney, carrying crew, staff, stores and equipment of field ambulance. And it was sunk without warning by a torpedo from the Japanese submarine on the 14th of May 1943, approximately 0400 hours, about 80 kilometres east-northeast of Brisbane. Of 332 people on board, only 64 survived. They spent 35 hours on rafts before rescued. Alan Savage, only one of 12 nursing sisters on board to survive, though injured, helped other survivors and was awarded the George Medal. The Centaur's wreck was discovered 20th December 2009, located 30 nautical miles off the southern tip of Moreton Island at a depth of 2,000 metres. The site is now a memorial to lost lives. The Bible is God's history site of a grand plan drawn up in eternity past to prepare his people for a future eternity. It tells of his rescue, charted through rough and tempestuous seas of life and death, of his special crew of authors and writers, many of whom lost their lives to enemy forces, but who will never ever be forgotten. They have an eternal future awaiting them also. It tells of a God who became one of us, the Messiah, the sacrificed Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, who had an impossibly difficult life, who endured a tortuous death of inestimable suffering and pain, who gave up all for you, for me, that we might have what he deserved. Why? Because he loved us with an everlasting love that even eternity cannot quench. A love stronger than death. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. You and I are complete in him. Colossians 2, verse 10. Amen. So, to welcome Brother Joel and brethren and sisters, hugs and love all around, and going to bring up the song, a well-known song from Christ in Song, called Nailed to the Cross. Nailed to the Cross. And for those who know the song, please take a verse and refrain. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross He was willing to tread all the sins of my life to forgive. They are nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, but he carried my sins with him there. He is tender and loving and patient with me while he cleanses my heart of its dross. But there's no condemnation. I know I am free, for my sins are all nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, but he carried my sins with him there. I will cling to my Savior and never depart. I will joyfully journey each day with a song on my lips and a song in my heart that my sins have been taken away. They are nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was They are nailed to the cross. I just lost my train of thought. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, but he carried my sins with him there. Amen. And so it is for each and every believing soul, not only nailed to the cross, but to be blotted out in the heavenly sanctuary that Christ is cleansing of all the recorded sins there. The blessed, precious robe of Christ's righteousness will cover us when we do not hide one known, when we confess every known sin and are not cherishing one that we know of. Miraculous indeed is the plan of salvation for each and every one of us. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we continue our journey through Revelation chapter 21. We probably might get to the end of it today. Who knows? God knows. And that is the privilege of all of us to be able to say, God does know. The worldling says that, but they don't mean what they're saying. But the Christian, God knows. we know he knows. Let's have a word of prayer. And would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free and thank you.
Almost kindly Father, we thank you once again for this wonderful moment that we are able to join online for Vesper Church and sharing the most important bread of life that edifies us for life eternal. Lord, we pray that you send the Holy Spirit to come and lead us more so, touch every lip of your servant who are going to speak before, that whatever they will speak be from your own throne and for our own benefit. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, who gave out his life for our own sake, that we may be saved. We do therefore commit our lives, dear Lord, before you. Cleanse us by his blood. Forgive us whoever have failed to fulfill, to come to the standard of your character. Lord, we're in the world where sin abounds and our love grows cold. We pray that you stand by us in everything we do, that we may be victor. We know there are many among us who are ailing. There are many among us who are living in areas where war is ravaging, famine, disease, and every other warning that shows that Christ is soon to come. May all these be a big lesson of experience to all of us, that we may acknowledge that you are a mighty God who makes all happenings roll over. We thank you that we are in the very days and you still give us the gift of life to acknowledge and see all this being fulfilled in our own days. Lord, may we continue also to reveal what is happening by your grace, that our Savior is soon to come to take us home, and that may we have strength to enlighten the world that the prophecy is fulfilled. The time has come that all may repent, that when Christ comes, he finds many waiting for him to be taken home. Lord, we are in the world, and you've left us a task. May we be instruments, accomplish what has not been done, and that the whole world may be enlightened with your glory. We thank you, O Lord, for the life you have given us. We thank you that you are a living God working among us. Even if when we don't mention what you want, you provide by your grace. Lord, continue to stand by us, and in a special way, we pray for this website, Online Vessel Church, that has made us what we are now. Bless our dear Elder Bob, who has made it sure that every other time he has fixed, we come online to share the experiences in the Lord, and share the experiences through your word that Christ is soon to come and take us home. Lord, be with us. Touch your servant, Elder James, who is going to speak before us. Give him wisdom to lay out what is in the book he's concluding today. Lord, may we learn and always remember whatever we have learned in the prophetic apocryphal for our times. Thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. So good to hear you, and thank you. So good to hear you pray for us and for others. Well, here we are, the last part of Revelation chapter 21. I'll make this much smaller so that you can actually see it. I should have been doing that earlier, taking a leaf out of Brother Bob's experience. Alrighty, there we go. That's much easier. Okay, so last week we looked at a couple of verses and we found that among them was the fact that the nations of them, in verse 24, are individuals, which are saved as individuals, not nations, denominations, organizations, etc., but all of us are a part of a nation. We've all got a tongue, we've all got kindred, etc., come from tribes, if you will. There's only one race, the race of Adam. A good way to witness to people when you have to fill that in the form, what race are you? The race of Adam. What's that? What an opening of the gospel there is. So, and last week we were looking at the fact that a couple of interesting spiritual prophecy quotations in expressing what awaits the saved. So now that brings us to verse 25, and who would like to read that for verses 25 and 26, actually. 25 and 26. Who would like to read that? And anyone and everyone who wants to share anything, please feel free to text it, to speak it, to even share anything in the room if you want to share, if you know how to do that, or we can show you. Thank you.
And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. That's kind of interesting, the glory and honor of the nations. What nations are they talking about?
And what glory do the nations have that heaven needs?
Good point, and amen. What has to be added to heaven to give glory and honor? Well, I didn't look that up, I don't think, in the spirit of prophecy, but that I've just written down as homework. I think what comes out, perhaps, and thank you for reading, Sister Joan, so good to hear your voice loud and clear. And without difficulty by the sounds of it, which is fantastic. Praise the Lord. Glory and honor of the nations into it. So obviously nations are made of people, and you've got glory and honor. You've got the tribes, of course, and then the spiritual tribes that everyone goes through the different gates that is attributed to them as individuals. They're bringing honor and glory. I'd like to look that up in the Spirit of Prophecy, see if anything is in there. I probably already have done it, but I haven't found anything. But hearing you ask those questions and bring those points out, what can you add to it? Of course, in the service of God, like a point put in the room, praise given to God is glorifying Him. Yeah, that's in the Psalm. Whosoever praiseth me glorifieth me. Amen.
The glory from the various nations may be the saved.
Right. Amen. So Christ, he sees the travail of his soul and he's glad. And what could bring glory but the saved living for him? Wow. I should just let you know, Sister Luce is trying to get in here. She's having difficulties for some reason. I'm not sure why. So, there's not going to be night there. The gates of it, the New Jerusalem, are not going to be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there in the New Jerusalem. And they're going to bring their glory and honor of the nations, which is outside the city, into it, the city, the New Jerusalem. There must be a lot of activity going on. I have a quote from, the Spirit of Prophecy on this particular point. I think it might be worth reading. I'll put it in the room, and would someone like to read it to us? Okay, if I can put it in there. Yep, great. That's probably why I don't do the green. Okay, would someone like to read that for us?
Starting where? Right there. In the city of God there shall be no night. None will need or desire repose. Boy, won't that be some? There will be no wearying in doing the will of God and offering praise to His name. We shall ever feel the freshness of the morning and shall ever be far from its close. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, Revelation 22:5. The light of the sun will be superseded by a radiance which is not painfully dazzling, yet which immeasurably surpasses the brightness of our noontide. The glory of God and the Lamb floods the holy city with unfading light. The redeemed walk in the sunless glory of perpetual day. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night. Wait a minute. Night? You just said there wasn't going to be any darkness. Maybe night means something different up there. That man may bring into thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Isaiah 60:11. In the city of God, there shall be no night. None will need desire repose. There will be no weariness in doing the will of God and offering praise to His name. We shall ever feel the freshness of the morning and shall ever be far from its close. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Revelation 22:5 and 21:22. The light of the sun will be surpassed by a radiance which is not painfully dazzling, which immeasurably surpasses the brightness of the noontide. The glory of God and of the Lamb flood the holy city with unfading light. The redeemed walk in the sunless glory of perpetual day. Great Controversy, 88 edition, 676.
Amen. Yeah, I inserted that Isaiah 66:11 quote you could probably tell because that's in capitals, ISA. And I've got you to repeat that quotation twice, bro. Well, it's pretty powerful, so it didn't hurt reading it twice. But, you know, when you think about it, the sun being seven times its brightness than now, and the moon being seven times its brightness, there's still going to be that distinction, isn't it? You remember I gave that quote from, I think it might have been Uriah Smith last week, bringing out that that distinction will still exist outside the city, where the brightness, in contrast with the brightness of the moon, even though it's much brighter, the sun's just, you know, just going to be like it is now. So different in is it night and day, that it can still be said night and day, if you will, on that, on that view. Well, we have to be there. We'll know what they're talking about, what they were trying to express, the prophets of old. It's a very interesting topic to be involved in. Now, is there anything anyone would like to share before we go to the last verse of chapter 21? Not the last chapter of the Bible, but we're getting there, and it's exciting.
I don't know if there are others like me, but I notice that when there's a dimming of the light, my body starts to feel like, oh, it's getting time to go to bed. So if I understand this right, there will be consistent light, and we won't have that feeling. Of course, there's other things that take place that we won't be tired. I think of little kids. They wake up and they have this tremendous energy, and it's hard to get them to go down for a nap, even though they need one. But in the holy city, we won't have those feelings. We will be like in the morning when you have all this energy thinking about what you're going to do for the rest of the day, and you kind of plan it out. That's a tremendous gift in itself, not to have the diminishing of energy and need to go to sleep, but to be awake to learn all of this wonderful things that the Lord has for us.
Amen. Amen. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of mankind the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Amen. A couple points. A lot of times at nighttime, cities, walled cities, would close their gates to keep any marauders or anything like that from coming in when the city was sleeping. So since there's not going to be nighttime there in the city of God, the gates will not be closed at all. They'll always be open. Another point is that there's still going to be day and night, and the moon is not always full. The moon has cycles in which it wanes to just a sliver, and then it comes back to being full. So I believe that same waning of the moon is going to be on the new earth. So stars will be seen at different times of the month as the sun brightness of the moon at that time will dim throughout the month, because we're still going to have new moons every 30 days. So there has to be a cycle of the moon throughout the 30 days that continues. And thus, when the moon is in its waning phase, you'll be able to see stars in the sky, you know. It won't be as bright. Just like over at the poles, when at different times of the year, the sun gets lower and lower in the sky, you can see stars during the day. Whereas when the sun's directly overhead, like at the equator, there's no chance to see stars during the day. So there's still going to be nighttime, but it's going to be, it's never going to be midnight blackness like we have here on the earth, because the moon is never going to get to the point that it's non-existent in the night sky.
Thank you. I was now imagining, but at least the Baba put it a little bit clear. I was now imagining whether in the city of God shall we have the Sabbath again to praise Him, like, or imagine what has gone through the week, because I'm still irritating my thinking. There are 1,000 years, we are in the city of God. We are trying to see what has been the experience of each and everybody. 1,000 years, we are before the Lord. Still wondering. A very bright city where I don't imagine, do we need the moon, the sun? Do we need to then think of week lapse, a period of time as we are on earth, still disturbing me. Can you a little bit be helped to know whether when we are in the city of the Lord, in heaven, New Jerusalem, we are talking about, we are in the presence of the Lord, we are seeing everything literally. Is there any need to acknowledge the weekly schedule, the monthly schedule for 1,000 years? This is my question.
Thanks, bro. Thank you for that insight, Brother Bob. And so the question and comment, Brother Joel, comment in the room, Isaiah 66, verse 23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon, which is to say one new month, to another, and from one Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath, every week, to another, shall all flesh, wow, that's an interesting way to put all Jews, no, it's all flesh, come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Wow. And I put a quote in the room. I think you can all see Isaiah 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Wow. That's very spectacular where I am. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. So that was a good point Brother Bob brought out, because the moon's not always full. So when it is full, apparently it's going to be just like it is if you can see the sun shining on me right now. You know what the sun's like. It's very daylight, but when it if you could imagine the sun just having a sliver and then there being nothing, you know, you just see the shadow. It's the reflection from the sun when it's not a full moon, the opposite, just the opposite. You've got contrasts happening there. I wouldn't be surprised if you, for some strange reason, that you might yet be able to see the stars despite the fact that the moon is that bright, because of something we don't experience in this, you know, fallen world. That could be said about everything we talk about when we're talking about the future, can't it? But does that quotation answer your question, brother? Or do you want to re-express it, or does someone want to add or say something to what Brother Joel shared?
I'm thinking of the verse, all flesh shall come from moon to moon. And I'm thinking, what a nice homecoming that is. It's like on this earth when you visit your parents and your family and you talk about things they remember about you when you were young and what you said, and remembering it makes you feel alive It lets you know that your lifetime wasn't just living in a vacuum. People took notice. Same way with God, only he knew you before you were born. And think of the stories he can tell about how you were and the stages of your life. That just sounds amazing to me. What a wonderful God we have.
Amen. Amazing love. It reminds me of a story about Falkhead from, Australia. He was part of the Freemasonry and a couple of other secret organizations. And one of the brothers there, a number of them were seeing that he was waning in his publishing, the position that he had in the publishing house in Australia. That was just the fledgling publishing house that just started. That was sort of 5 years in. And they could see, and Sister White had shared some certain things, and she wanted to share a particular letter, but she was stopped from sharing it. She just was impressed. No, no, he won't receive it. Don't send it. So she wouldn't send it. So she would hold it. And one of the brothers said to Falkhead, "Hey, Falkhead, you're doubtful of Alan White. What if God had a message through her for you? Would you believe it?" He said, "Oh, it'd have to be pretty strong. Yeah, be very great." And then of course one day he's asked, he's going to meet Ellen White, and he meets up with her, and she starts discussing some parts of the letter that she never sent, and explaining some things. She even did some signs that only a Freemason as high as he was a head Mason, that she just did what the angel showed her, but didn't know what it meant, but was just repeating, and in the process happened to do a sign, and he was shocked and that, and then it all of a sudden flooded on his mind. Oh, I said to that brother, you know, it'd have to be pretty strong evidence. And as she shared more and more, and out of love for him, she said, you know, I would never have accepted that letter had you have sent it before. I mean, I'm amazed, and this is what makes me bring this up, because of what Sister Joan said, that God cares so much for me that he took the time to send a warning to me. And of course he did end up, not only a warning, he accepted it, but he's going to live out the directions in it. And of course he left entirely all the secret societies he was connected with. Very gifted man. And that's how we can look at it, can't we? That's how we should, when we're reproved, when we're rebuked, when we're warned, when we're instructed, it's thou God seest me, the attitude of Hagar. Nothing's missing, and it's out of love for us that he does it. Well, we reach the last verse, and who would like to read that to us all?
"And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life."
Amen. Thank you, sis. Good to hear your voice. Glad you could join us again. So that appears to be an allusion to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1. And that is, in fact, why don't I put that in the room? Isaiah 52, verse 1. No, looks like I'm not going to be allowed. No, it's not happy. Oh, yeah. Okay. Isaiah 52:1-3. I'll put it in the room with you. Actually, it's a scripture song. Perhaps you've all heard it before. It's a scripture song. there we go. So, and there's parts of it you can see John obviously would have been very familiar with it. The scripture song goes, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake, awake, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised or the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion, for thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Isaiah chapter 52 verses 1 to 3. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake, awake, put on thy beautiful garments. And of course, those beautiful garments are the robe of Christ's righteousness available to each and every one of us, for us as individuals in the Lord. And as we've been reading Revelation, and we've only got one chapter to go, much of the imagery in John's description of the holy city, as an example, is borrowed from the writings of ancient prophets who described the glories of the Jerusalem that might have been. Now, imagine in John's day, of course, he's writing Revelation after Jerusalem is, you know, finished, ended, the temple, no more, you know, plowed like a field. He lived in that day when he was writing Revelation, and he knew that, and so did the world. So he's describing the glories of Jerusalem that might have been, but John is describing the city that will be, and of course he knows it is so. We're told that there's one thing that we need to be girt about with. I'll just put the Bible back on there. We're to be girt about, according to Ephesians 6:14, for instance, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth instead of girt about with lies, because they don't enter the city, girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, Christ's righteousness. I've got a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy here that's maybe pertinent to what we're looking at here. It's just one quote. It's a small one from Prophets and Kings. Would someone like to read it for us all? All right, there we are.
All who enter the city of God will enter through the strait gate by agonizing effort. For there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Revelation 21:27. But none who have fallen need give up to despair. Aged men, once honored of God, may have defiled their souls, sacrificing virtue on the altar of lust. But if they repent, forsake sin, and turn to God, there is still hope for them. He who declares, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, also gives the invitation. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. And that was Revelation 2:10 and Isaiah 55 verse 7. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. I will heal their backsliding, he declares. I will love them freely. Hosea 14, verse 4. And that was from Prophets and Kings, page 84.
Oh, full of promises, isn't it? Abundantly pardon. You know, we feel abundantly sinners. We can maybe abundantly pardon sinners and brought out as a brand plucked out of the fire to serve the Lord in truth and in holiness. What a blessing. You know, I was thinking, Lucy was here, she'd be picking me up for that. Thinking, she's cutting short of the G. You know, when Lucifer sings, we know Lucifer's going to obviously have his part in the lake of fire that's brought out in verse 27. When Lucifer, as results for sin, when Lucifer, the son of the morning, made himself into Satan, the adversary, and deceived a third of the angels, Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, and repented not, they were removed from heaven, from defiling it, working abominations, and lying there, just the same things that everyone's not, why people will be left out of the city. Now we're told, and I'll put this in a room and walk through it with you all, some interesting points I want to bring out here. Okay, there we go. Great. Okay, I'll just expand here. Okay. So, let me go. Whoop. Okay, so we're told in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and Jude, verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. End of quote. Where were they, that's the fallen angels, where were they if they were not in the heavenly places? We know the following. Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven prior to the creation of this world. You can find that in Patriarchs and Prophets. Well, let's start with the Bible. Job chapter 1 and 2, chapter 38. Prophets and Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 36 to 42, compared with early writings, pages 145, 146, Great Controversy, pages 498 to 500, Three Spiritual Gifts, volume 3, pages 36 to 39, and One Spirit of Prophecy, pages 17 to 33. The controversy in heaven, yeah, amen, thank you. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, speaking of the devil being cast out. I think it mentions to the earth, doesn't it, bro? I'd have to check that up. Do it on the fly, as Brother Dick calls it. 7-9. Okay. Yeah, it does mention the earth. It says, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out of the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. But that casting out, see, the earth wasn't in existence when they were cast out. So this would be the second casting out, wouldn't it? This would be when the devil was conquered at the cross. And they now no longer had access to the angels like they had before the cross. Now, if you disagree, bring it out, because that helps me understand better what I'm trying to share and whether I'm misguided in any way. The controversy in heaven began over plans for the creation of man. That's volume 3, Spiritual Gifts, page 36. When the earth was created and Adam was appointed its vicegerent, Satan directed his efforts at overthrowing the newly created man. His access to earth only at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So that's the only real estate he had. When he succeeded in bringing about the downfall, of Adam and Eve, he claimed the earth as his domain, like Matthew chapter 4 verses 8 and 9. Now here's, that's tempting Christ and saying, all this will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me. Of course, it wasn't Satan's at all. He was saying that to the King of Kings. So this is from Heavenly Places, page 102. It says, the very angels who, when Satan was seeking the supremacy, fought the battle in the heavenly courts and triumphed on the side of God, the very angels who shouted for joy over the creation of our world and over the creation of our first parents to inhabit the earth, that'll be from Job chapter 38, the angels who witnessed the fall of man and his expulsion from his Eden home, these very heavenly messengers are most intensely interested to work in union with the fallen, redeemed race for the salvation of human beings perishing in their sins. End of quote. Now, there's another quote. I've obviously underlined it to stress something. It says, yeah, amen. Sin starts first in the mind. Absolutely. That's why the 10th commandment speaks all about that. Something that no one can see but God in our minds. A quote from Desire of Ages, page 761. And the root of all sin there. Satan saw that his disguise was torn away. His administration was laid open before the unfallen angels and before the heavenly universe. He had revealed himself as a murderer. By shedding the blood of the Son of God, he had uprooted himself from the sympathies of the heavenly beings. Henceforth, his work was restricted. So it wasn't before this, right? And this is why I've underlined this. Probably with this is in relation to Revelation 12:2 as well. You could relate it to verses 7 to 9. Whatever attitude he might assume, he could no longer await the angels as they came from the heavenly courts. And before them accuse Christ's brethren of being clothed with the garments of blackness and the defilement of sin. The last link of sympathy between Satan and the heavenly world was broken. End of quote. We read in Great Controversy, page 659. Here is to be the home of Satan, this world, with his evil angels for 1,000 years. Limited to the earth, he will not have access to other worlds to tempt and annoy those who have never fallen. So that implies that he did have that power, and he does have that power right now as we speak. Limited to the earth, he will not have access to other worlds to tempt and annoy those who have never fallen. It is in this sense that he is bound. There are none remaining upon whom he can exercise his power. He is wholly cut off from the work of deception and ruin, which for so many centuries has been his sole delight. Okay. Here is an enlightening, inspired statement. We're told, the Lord has given me a view of other worlds. Wings were given me, and an angel attended me from the city to a place that was bright and glorious. The grass of the place was living green, and the birds there warbled a sweet song. The inhabitants of the place were of all sizes. They were noble, majestic, and lovely. They bore the express image of Jesus, and their countenances beamed with holy joy, expressive of the freedom and happiness of the place. I asked one of them why they were so much more lovely than those on the earth. Interesting. This is a human being saying this. Their reply was, we have lived in strict obedience to the commandments of God and have not fallen by disobedience like those on the earth. Then I saw two trees. One looked much like the tree of life in the city. The fruit of both looked beautiful, but of one they could not eat. They had power to eat of both, but were forbidden to eat of one. Then my attending angel said to me, none in this place have tasted of the forbidden tree, but if they should eat, they would fall. That's from Early Writings, page 39. Now, you remember the question I asked at first? From this information, well, let me read it again. I'll go up. So, what was my question? Where were the fallen angels if they were not in the heavenly places and before the earth existed? That's basically the crust of the question. And so from this information, what we've read so far, the answer appears to be both space between the worlds and the real estate at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil of unfallen worlds created before Earth. And of course, at when Earth created, then he has access to the knowledge of good and evil. Do you all see it that way? So from this information, so when Satan and his evil angels are cast out, they're not cast out to this Earth. The first casting out from the information we've looked at, including Jude 6 and 2 Peter 2, verse 4, from this information, the answer appears to be both space between the worlds and the real estate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil of unfallen worlds created before Earth. And of course, when Earth was created, then he would have that small real estate. And if they fall, well, then he'd have the whole world, which is of course what happened on this planet Earth. But does everyone agree? Does that make sense? Yes. That's great. Does anyone want to share thoughts, insights, comments, questions on what we've looked at here and elsewhere so far?
Well, it talks about the fallen angels able to go to other worlds, and they all had the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they didn't fall, perhaps because they saw what happened when Earth fell. And we still have the knowledge of good and evil in our minds. We can choose to forget the evil and stick to the good. And we have the Word of God to lead us to the good. But aren't the angels and the devil confined to this earth and burned up in the last days after the holy city comes down from heaven? I think the holy city comes down to this earth from heaven, but it must be taken away because the devil and his angels are going to be burned up and the earth is going to turn to ashes, and then the new earth will be made. And it's quite interesting to think that this knowledge of good and evil was passed on to us through Adam and Eve, because they chose to eat from that tree that had the knowledge. Had we not had the knowledge of evil, Christ would not have had to come to this earth and be crucified. It would be like we were in heaven already.
Wow, you covered a lot of stuff there. I should have written it down as you were saying at this point, that point. It's a wonderful point you're making, because when the earth is burnt up and the lake of fire covers the whole earth, miraculously the holy city is on the earth, but it's not affected one bit by that, by the purifying fires. And of course the devil and his angels and all who have followed him and revealed his character and loved sin over and above God and righteousness of God are, of course, lost and finished and completed. And this is where I should have written down something. Oh, you mentioned the point, which is an interesting one. We're not told how long the unfallen worlds had the knowledge, had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil placed there, and the devil access to it, how long that period was. But we know that they were ever faithful before this earth was. And of course, when they saw the failure here, it certainly wouldn't have been an encouragement to partake. Oh yeah, I want death. Yeah, give that to me. No, of course it would be, you'd be put off. I comment in the room, did not the evil angels go to all the unfallen worlds and tempted them, and the inhabitants did not fall? Well, they're doing that right now. But only at the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a literal tree that is, as we read, very beautiful, but they're not allowed to touch it, just like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve obviously did. And so, that's the only part they've got access on those unfallen worlds now, still got it. And it's only when the 1,000 years of desolation on this earth, that they don't ever have that ability. That's it. That's finished. And that's why, you know, the devil will be, you know, lost for words and, you know, is out of business. It'd be very hard. I mean, it's got to be pretty evil to be that kind of a business. But he's been doing it for over 6,000 years. And I think the other point that's good to mention too, something Joan mentioned, is that a lot of people say, oh, I heard it just this week. I think that's probably why it's fresh in my mind. Oh, well, we ate the fruit. I said, well, I wasn't there, brother. I didn't eat the fruit, but I've sinned like Adam and Eve, yeah. But I didn't eat that fruit. Adam did. Eve did. They know that. If they were alive, they would they acknowledge it. It's in the Bible. I didn't eat it. We inherit their sinful nature. Yes, Genesis 5, it says now we're made in the image of Adam, not in the image of God. They didn't have children before they sinned, so after sin, that's all they had to impart, a sinful nature. But Christ Jesus took on that sinful nature as well and condemned sin in the flesh, Romans chapter 8, verse 3. So the only way we know good and evil, I mean, Christ knew what was evil, but that's because he knew what was true. You don't have to know evil by partaking of it. What's the famous quote, Jeremiah 7 verse 9, is it? Or 17 verse 9? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God knows it, but not because he's evil, but because he knows everything of his creatures, because that's why they exist. But you don't have to, by knowing truth, kind of like someone learning, money, real money. If you know what the real money is, that's all you have to know, because then you'll be able to tell fake money. But if you start getting involved with the fake money, you get confused. So like Babylon, right? So the only way, you and I, we need Jesus's saving grace. He knew what was evil by knowing only what was truth. He only did that which was good in that. But he knows what it is to be tempted like you and I. You know, the power behind the temptation. Temptation doesn't have power unless it's attractive. It doesn't have power otherwise. So if Jesus, as most of the churches in the world, if not all of them, and you expect it from because they're in Babylon, teach that Christ took on Adam's nature before the fall, then Christ doesn't have a clue what it is to be like you and I. And that's not a savior. And that's certainly not someone that can help you and I right now to overcome.
Amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking about how much time did Lucifer brood over these thoughts before he gave expression to them. You know, we're told that open rebellion didn't come until after Lucifer was denied the, his request was denied to be in the council chamber with God and Christ and the Spirit regarding the creation of mankind. So how long before that did Lucifer have in thoughts of his beauty and thoughts of being neglected or whatever? Because we're told that after the war, after Lucifer and his angels were cast out, then the Godhead quickly went and created this earth and mankind, or Adam and Eve. So, but we're not told how long they planned this creation of our world and Adam and Eve and all creation in it. So we're not given any particular time frame of how long Lucifer had to brood over these thoughts and then how long he had to express his displeasure at not being allowed in the council of God. Because when you look at it, it appears to be a very short time. Lucifer is cast out of heaven, and then the next day God creates the heaven and earth. But there's a period of time in there that we're just not told how long it was.
I think Sister White says that Lucifer first went around and spread insinuations to the angels. So that takes time. And then when he felt that the angels were with him, then he made his strike because he had backup.
Amen and amen. And talking about a blast from the past, we're told from Review and Herald, April 29, 1875, the gospel was first preached to Adam by Christ. Wow, how fitting. Adam and Eve felt sincere sorrow and repentance for their guilt. They believed the precious promise of God and were saved from utter ruin. We're going to get to meet Adam and Eve if we too are sincere through sorrow and repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ to keep us from falling. You know, talking about a blast from the past, Adam and Eve were not alive to witness the creation of God. No scientific evidence of what was before, but they believed their creator with the scientific evidence in the present for them back in the past. But Adam, interestingly, did witness the planting of the Garden of Eden, every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, along with every beast of the field and every fowl of the air in the Garden of Eden. So there was faith straight away, but that faith was based on evidence, and we can only conjecture what sort of things, because God created them with the faculty of speech. Where was the school? There was no school. Well, there's the school of Christ, but the point would be Christ never taught them, because on that first day, we all know Adam could name the animals. And we don't know what he called them, don't know what language he spoke, but it was certainly a language, and it must have been a very good one, because it came from God, and God said all things were very good, which would have to include the language that he gave them. It was very good. Just a blast from the past on that front.
Have you ever imagined being in a world where everyone around you is for you? No one is against you. For instance, if you get up to speak in front of a group, there's mixed feelings out there in that group. And that's what makes you hesitate, because someone may not agree with what you said. But in heaven, since there is no sin, there's nobody out in the audience saying, I hope he fails, or remember what they said about this, and that's all. They think they're so smart standing up there and saying this and that. There's nothing negative in that crowd. So you're among people who love you. What a thought. What a wonderful place to be.
That is so well put. I knew where you were coming from immediately. We all did, didn't we? It's a fantastic, because it's only here at the present. It's only a thought, but we have the joy of having it in the midst among ourselves, in the same faith, even here, writing up for that place where there's the seraph and the cherubim, the archangel, the angels, etc. Of course, unfallen worlds. What a time and a place. You know, we're told in Genesis 3, angels forbade entrance to Eden because of sin. But in Revelation 21, the chapter that we've just gone through, angels provide entrance into Eden. They're at the gates, aren't they? Because of sin conquered through God's grace. And you could ask, you could, it's been said, I don't know who said it, maybe it was one of us here. Angels at gates of New Jerusalem, perhaps making sure they, the saved, go through the correct gate, although that, I don't think that need correction, but ID checkers as it were, but there's order in heaven and it's not hard to believe that this is so. And you know, it's the one planet you and I have only ever known that rebelled, that is to be the very center of the universe. I'll put that quote in the room. You've probably all read it. If you've read The Great Controversy, you've read it. It will be the center of the universe. Let me just put it in the room for us. Amazing. It says, Great Controversy, page 677, with undimmed vision, they gaze upon the glory of creation. Suns and stars and systems, all in their appointed order, circling the throne of deity. And where's the deity? On the earth, in the New Jerusalem. Upon all things, from the least to the greatest, the Creator's name is written, and in all are the riches of his power displayed. Wow.
You know, the devil declared that he was going to put his throne in the sides of the north. In other words, he was going to put his throne in the very spot that God ruled the universe. But in reality, we see that God is going to put his throne in the very heart of what was once the devil's kingdom, which is this earth. Only, of course, it will be cleansed and purified and made holy. All things are recreated new. It's quite amazing.
What a wise move. That is such a wise move. To set your kingdom up in the middle of what the devil thought was going to be his, and even struck the ruler of the universe thinking he could kill him. Look at how miserable the devil is with his miscalculations. And sin doesn't lead to ennobled thinking. Sin tears you down. It doesn't make you better. What a lesson.
Amen and amen. Well, I have some quotes here that we'll have to leave it for another time, talking about this chapter from the Spirit of Prophecy, but we'll have to leave it for another time. And speaking of that another time, it appears that, well, in closing here and picking it up, I don't know when that might happen. I've got one job offered to me, And I actually said I need more time to consider my options. They want me to work on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I told him about Thursday, and but it suits the employer the other 3 days, which is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which would mean I cannot join us anymore. So I don't know what we will do about that, except maybe we could finish chapter 20. I've got notes for chapter 22. I haven't completed them, but maybe we can do something in the future regarding that. I have, and I thank you for your prayers, et cetera, in sharing, in helping me know what to do. I certainly, there's the possibility of working from home perhaps in the future with a, I don't know how far away that might be, but I've shared it with some brothers and sisters. It's with Swiss Valorum, which is a Switzerland institute, which gives a high yield on long-term deposits. And they even generously give you 15% of anyone you bring in to put long-term deposits with them. They'll give you 15% of whatever they put into it, which is very generous. I don't know of any bank or institution on the planet that does that, but I haven't researched, I guess, for years, but it's very generous. But I don't have anyone that's doing that at the moment. So it looks like this, sadly, might be the last time I'm with you at this point in time. But Lord willing, we will, perhaps one way or another, we will complete Revelation 22, perhaps together at some stage. Maybe we'll do it on Sabbath. I don't know. But thank you for keeping it in prayer. You know, it's funny. I've been sharing with people in the mines. You know, people think I'm a bit backwards. Like, why don't you work in the mines and that? And I told them about the Sabbath. Oh, you know, they know straight away. Oh, well, that's why you won't get one. You earn so much here in WA, you could earn 3 times the amount, and you don't necessarily have any skills directly for the job, but they'll teach you on site. But unless you break the Sabbath, brethren, sisters, you don't get to own a house anytime soon. And it's sad because it's under health laws that they let you go home for a week and then you come on 2 weeks or whatever the FIFO might be. Fly in, fly out, the rules one on, two off, or three on, one off, whatever the system. They say they do that for health and safety, and yet God had health and safety there all along. Have the Sabbath off. Have the Sabbath to the Lord, and but they don't respect that, and that's what we call a fallen world that we live in. But who knows? Maybe someone will come round. I was just talking to someone who apparently gets it off. And I talked to him, and we were witnessing to one another. And he was sharing with me, well, I just asked my boss. And I said, yeah. And he said, he looked up in the ceiling and he said, okay. Now, I already realized immediately, and I asked him, how long had you been working there? In other words, how long were you breaking the Sabbath before you got there? Oh, it was many years. So you get the idea. He was starting to grasp that's where I was coming from. What kind of employment am I offered is a good question. The only one that I can get close by is fencing, putting up fences, which I don't have any experience, but he's happy to teach me. And but unfortunately, it's definitely on today, you know, 7 till 4. So I wouldn't be here. I won't be able to be with us anymore. Which that looks like the most convenient job. There's another job I could get. It's further away, but still it's going to affect Thursday. So, you know, it's that thought. I'm so glad to get this far with tithes and offerings. I just worked out with the tithes and offerings I've received since I was, you know, terminated by the Terminator. I think I worked out, I think it was like $156 a week, which obviously I can't live on. And that's what I'm facing today. I can't live on that, unfortunately, because of rent. Rent's the killer. So, and if you want to pay bills, well, you just got to chuck that out. My dad used to say Bill doesn't live here. So, yeah, that's where it's at. But, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm grateful. Maybe that's what the Lord wants. I don't, you know, I've got to share with you. I mean, they're not here, but there are people, brothers and sisters, that live in Perth. I don't know where their tithes and offerings go. In fact, I don't even know if they pay them at all. You know, Val and Peter are an example. They seem interested in the truth in that. I've never shared the tithe issue. I hate asking people that. I'm sure that's why ministers in Alan White's day hated mentioning it because, you know, because, oh, it's just a racket. It's just a business and that. Well, you don't give it to me. Give it to people who are bringing people to Christ and baptizing them at the camp meetings. Give it to them. Absolutely. Don't give it to me, but just make sure you do it. Make sure you do it. Don't be greedy. That's why it's there. Because if you keep doing this, you're sinning against the Lord and you're being greedy with what's not yours in the first place. So, but anyway, I think we probably all know that if it's kind of like the spirit of prophecy, it mentions it more than once. If faithful tithes and offerings were paid, there'd be many more working in the field. I can't help but think that, it's appealing for people who leave the SDA church to think, oh, I can do whatever I want with my money, but it's not your money. And I love telling people because I think my sister Lucy, I think she didn't share it. And I said, you've got to be sure to share this, Lucy. When you mention you're giving tithes and offerings to me, mention first of all, I didn't ask it of you. Secondly, God asks of you. And thirdly, I give tithes and offerings as well. So then they can, oh, so it's not a one way. Exactly. And so I think she shared that probably more than once. But, and I got to tell you, Sister Lynn and Sister Ma, they're so kindly, and Sister Lucy and Brother Dick gave a while back. And thank you, Brother Dick and Brother Bob in the past. Thank you for supporting us this far. If this is where, I was just saying to Lucy, what a pity we didn't get to the end of Revelation, but I am thrilled. I've looked at Revelation 22, still a lot to look at, of course, but I'm so glad we got this far since we started in Daniel because we could do this together and it's been so rewarding. I can tell you for a certainty, I've got this many notes and I've got so many other things I want to add to what you've brought to my attention. Questions even today that I know are going to take time to find answers to if they're available, but certainly going to use them in the future. If ever there's an evangelistic, opportunity, even if it's just the audience is only one person. They're some of the most closest conversations Christ had and that you and I can have and will have had. And to God be the glory. So thank you for keeping it in prayer. I will probably have to finalize if the job's still there very soon. So I'll keep looking up. I think it's kind of funny. I should just share this briefly. Lucy's not here, but I said to Lucy, I shared it with my family and a couple of hundred, the Swiss Valorum generous offer, 5% per week on as little as 300 AUD, so that's 200 USD. And she said, did anyone answer? I said, you know, I thought someone would answer in my family, but strangely enough, no one did. But I said, but that's not lost. I'll share it with them. I feel sorry when people don't get what they can get from someone else. We all usually use banks, and this is a decentralized system. So thank you for keeping the efforts in prayer, and God will keep providing like he always does and always will. Does anyone have any testimonies, songs, questions, insights that anyone wants to share with all of us here? And I think this is the most we've ever had, 9 of us. Praise the Lord. What a pity Lucy's 8 of us. I'm sorry, I can't count. What a pity Lucy couldn't make it. She must have internet problems.
We will indeed be keeping that subject in prayer, dear brother. And thank you so very much for taking us through Daniel and almost all of Revelation. We've greatly appreciated the time and the insights. Amen. Big hugs to you too. the time and the insights and answers to questions and homework and everything else that you've been able to lead out in this this wonderful Wednesday evening meeting. Please let us know if that job is still open and if the Lord allows you or leads you to take it. Let us know on Friday. But I hear you regarding tithe and offerings, and what some people do is they pay tithe and offering, but since they're not sure who to give the tithe and offering to, they end up using the tithe for their own purposes in the Lord's work. For instance, I've heard of individuals saving their tithes until it was like $25,000 or $30,000 in the bank, and they didn't know who to give it to, so instead of trusting in a independent minister or self-supporting minister, they would use the $30,000 tithe to buy a motorhome and then donate that motorhome to an evangelist. And they say, well, I do pay tithe because I bought this motorhome with this $30,000. But in actuality, they didn't pay tithe because tithe is to be given to the living minister. It's not to be used in what you may believe God's work you can utilize it in. So in using tithe to buy a motorhome and then give that motorhome to an evangelist, they were robbing God even though they were paying tithe, if you understand. So offering that $30,000, if it was offering, yeah, you could buy motorhomes and give it to evangelists to help in spreading the word. But the tithe was to be a free will donation to a living minister. It was to be given for the support or for the use of another minister. It was not to be given to that minister in another form or with restrictions saying, here's tithe, use it to buy food for poor children or use it for this purpose. The tithe was a free will offering that was to be given without restrictions, because it was for the living minister. But a lot of people just don't understand that if they put restrictions on the tithe, they are robbing God for the purpose for which the tithe was to be given. So you can have individuals that are given a donation. They're not told whether it's tithe or offering, but they're given a donation and they're said, this is for this purpose. And so because that money was directed for one specific purpose, then that minister or ministry cannot use that for its support or for the support of the minister or his family. It's set aside for a specific purpose, even though it may be tithe that should have gone to them for their support. There was even I think enough said on that subject, but it shows you that if tithe was given the way it should be given, that there would be a lot more living ministers going out and spreading the truth where there are but few in this day and age. So we will definitely be keeping the situation there in our prayers, dear brother. And again, thank you so very much for leading out in the Wednesday night meetings for so long. I think we're like in the hundreds now for Revelation. So that's 100 Wednesdays. So that's more than almost 2 years. And then Daniel was up in the 80s, I think it was. So so you've been leading out here for more than 3 years. And again, thank you and big hugs for that sacrifice and all that effort, dear brother. It's greatly appreciated.
Well, it's an absolute privilege. Thank you for sharing those insights.
Been wonderful, Brother James, and God be with you. I've learned so much about revelation that I knew bits and pieces, but you kind of put it all together. And one thing that came to mind this week, we were watching a documentary about abandoned cities, and they had Babylon as an abandoned city. I had no idea that it was over in Iran, and that Saddam Hussein said that he was a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and he had started to rebuild Babylon. But the archaeologists were pretty upset with him because they've been looking for the Hanging Gardens, which they haven't found yet, and they believe that because of his messing around with the site, building walls, because there's the old construction, and then there was some new walls built and gates, and that was what Hussein had done, because he felt that Nebuchadnezzar, when he said, if this city falls into ruin, rebuild it. So Hussein thought that it was his job. Anyway, it was quite interesting to note that Babylon, the ruins of Babylon, are in Iran. And it just kind of wakes you up to how real the Bible is.
Amen. Amen. I thought it was Iraq, but Iran's pretty close enough. Amen. Brings it alive. May more findings go on that support the Bible and its historicity there provided. I want to thank the Lord too. Yesterday I found out what was going wrong trying to work behind the scenes of the Free Literature Multimedia website, and we've worked out the problem. So that's a big leap forward, and Lord willing, Brother Bob's going to say the same thing soon as well about the website, and have his email with hundreds of emails just waiting to look at and spend weeks on in the Lord's service.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I got a prayer request. And an acquaintance of ours, she had a little girl. She has a little boy, about 4 years old, I think. She just had a little girl, I think around, August of last year. And they discovered a tick in the little girl's belly button area. So they safely removed the tick, but she ended up developing a bullseye pattern around where the tick had been. And that's the indication of Lyme disease. And the little girl developed a fever, developed severe diarrhea, was so dehydrated that they had to take her to the emergency room today and rehydrate her. And she was able to snap out of her lethargy and back to normal. But if the diarrhea continues, the same problem may quickly occur in the near future. So they asked for our prayers. We prayed with her over the phone, and I mentioned that I would bring it up to our home church for them to add this little girl to their prayers as well. They are believers in Christ, they do have home church, but they're Sunday keepers. So it's amazing when we're talking with them, they're sharing some of the very same present truth things that we believe, you know, but they're just, I think he's part of Dutch Reform. So they do understand home churching. But of course they're of the Sunday keeping persuasion, but they're very, strict in regard, no drums, no electric, instruments in their church services. So, I mean, there's some similarities there. But anyway, I mentioned that I would bring up the prayer request for them to our home church. So thank you for keeping them in prayers.
I was going to say that God does speak to people in advance of some catastrophe that's going to happen. And a friend and I were traveling to a place called Quartzsite, which in January has the largest meeting of people coming to sell their wares. It's like a huge, huge swap meet. And we were on our way there. My friend had seen a small road grader that was horse-drawn, and he was into antiques. And so here we are in the middle of the desert, traveling down this road pretty fast. Some people, when they get a big long trailer on the back of their truck, it encourages them to step on the accelerator for the added weight. I don't know what it is, but you see it all the time. If they're hauling a trailer, they're going faster than 55. I think our speed was between 70 and 80. On this, the desert road was pretty much traffic free. And this voice came in my mind, you're going to be in an accident, but you're not going to get hurt. And I watched how he was driving and was kind of going over to the side of the road where there's a soft shoulder. So I talked to him about his speed, and he slowed down. And this thought in my mind, you're going to be in an accident, but you're not going to get hurt. And about 10 minutes later, he veered over to the side, and he was pretty much in the sand along the side of the road. And so I said something to him. And when he reacted too strong. And for a while, the truck was headed out into the desert. It was doing all kinds of weird things very fast. And he ended up jackknifed in the middle of the road and tried to get the engine started because there was an 18-wheeler back behind us about a mile, and he was fast catching up with us, and we were blocking the whole road. Anyway, a lot of times when something like that happens, your ignition is still in drive, and so your engine won't start while you're in drive. So I said to him, I think you need to get in the, get out of drive so the engine will start. And he was amazing in his driving skills that we did not turn over and we did not end up flying out into the desert. He got the truck and the trailer aligned back up. on the side of the street, and a truck passed us by, and I told him about the voice I'd heard in my head about, you're going to be in an accident, but you're not going to be hurt. And that was just so amazing. I praise God for that over and over again, because he not only saw what was going to happen, he didn't want me to be afraid. And I wasn't afraid. Praise the Lord.
Wow. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Always a happy ending. And God's got the happiest of all endings to this world of sin and woe. And we've just read some of it, what it's going to look like hereafter. Well, why don't we have a season of prayer? And I'll go first. And if anyone's impressed to pray thereafter, please feel free to do so. Kind Father in heaven, thank you for another season of prayer. It was a number of years ago we started doing this on a regular basis. I mean, I speak for myself online, and it's been a real privilege to be able to do it for a number of years. And dear Bob and others that continue, all of us, all that can, I pray that it prospers in your hands with your guidance, where you would have it, what next book you'll have studied, what subjects are to be brought out, that none go away empty, but filled with the food that they need, including the one that's leading out, that's presenting. We thank you that we live in a world where we aren't in agreement with many people. We understand what it is to be a worldling. All of us had to be born again, and we have to continue being born again every day of our life granted us. We know what it is to be a worldling. We know what it is to sin. We know something that worldlings don't know yet, who have not chosen Christ, and that is the pardon, the forgiveness, the victory over sin, over its evil, over its passion and pride and burden that no one but Christ can lift and help us with and cleanse us from the sins of the past. Thank you that despite the fact that many on this world do not agree with your word, nor with those who choose to be sanctified through it, that the way is still open, because the world is going to hear the whole everlasting gospel, that for weal or woe, they will hear it, and they must hear it. And we just ask that you would help us, when we know that this has to be done continuously, that we would have the love of God in us in the process of doing it, that it would increase in us, that people will see the reasons of our faith, that they're evidence-based. And know that we're not a misguided people. One's not misguided when they're taking God at his word and comparing it with observable evidence and saying and acknowledging that the one thing that's going to stop them from following God or Christ every moment of the day is a love for sin. Lord, we especially uphold that precious daughter that dear Bob just mentioned, of an acquaintance who have faith in your son, Jesus, who believe they must be growing Christians. We pray that this experience will be for their growth in the things of God, and that the little girl suffering as we speak, and we're thankful she could get attended to immediately, that it is an unto death. We don't want to see her die. You're not the author of death. But there are times you let it happen. And that is then saved because of the bigger picture that only you can see. And we would love for them to have a good story that they're able to, anything that will contribute to relieve the pain continuously, the diarrhea and the symptoms of Lyme's disease that she's clearly showing, that there would be even natural therapies that are proven to work to bring the relief that she requires and quickly. Please help the efforts, bless the efforts that are in the thoughts and prayers of your believing children to see that the physician is by her side, and to God be the glory. If it can do this, save this child's life entire and take her away from the sickness and pain that she's feeling with this Lyme's disease that she has. Please help our dear sister Lucy and others that have issues getting online. I don't think she has an issue getting online, but there's always some technical failure of some sort that no brother or sister gives up through prayer and fulfilling those prayers to do what you've called us to do despite the obstacles that are set in our way, that we would have the endurance to persevere. It's very easy for us to lose our temper. It's very easy for us to swear. It's very easy to do all the things that are wrong. That's very easy. And we want the world to see, those who don't know Christ, to understand. We know that. But we hate that. We don't like that. We loathe ourselves. But in Christ was none of these things, and yet he was a man like us. He was a human being. And in him there's real guidance. His words, his blood can cleanse the life of sin that they so much need, because we know we so much need. And may that necessity and understanding of our needs only increase, so that our mouths will be a gospel horn, that everyone will have an opportunity to recognize, realize that God is love. Bless our brothers and sisters as they prepare for the activities, or for bed included, to get all the rest that they need, all the while all of us resting in Jesus and doing what we can while we can, in the name of the Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Father in heaven, we ask that you will be with Sophie and her family. Place your healing hand on her. Help her to overcome this Lyme disease. Be with her family and help them to keep growing into Christ. We know that you're the great physician, and that you have every one of our lives in your hands. Thank you, dear Lord, for the promise and the answered prayers. Also be with Brother James and lead and guide him in his decisions and in his plans. And thank you, dear Lord, for doing this. We also ask that he still be in our family here so we can talk to him. And thank you, dear Lord, for giving him the knowledge and the perseverance in his study, and for what he has brought to us from Revelation and Daniel. Be with everyone of this Let There Be Light family. Help us not to worry about the future. Help us to act in the way that is pleasing in your sight. Thank you, dear Lord, for taking such good care of your children. be with Lucy. Help her not to be discouraged about technical things. I'm thankful for my son who saves me from all this technology. Thank you, dear Lord. Some of us are wise in other things. Be with all those that were not here tonight. Bless them. Bless those that were here tonight. And thank you that we could have this fellowship one with another and share our stories. Be with those who have the rest of the day. Guide them, protect them, keep them safe. And for those of us getting ready to retire, may it be a restful sleep and wake us up in the morning with a joyful heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our most kind Father, we are honored for this gathering and the Vesper Church that brings us together as one family. We are preparing for life and time. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that brings back reunion and hope for everlasting life. We are here sharing the bread of life, sharing the bread that builds our characters. We pray that you continue to reveal yourself unto us and that we may comprehend you fully and be fitted for heaven. Lord, we thank you for the every effort you have put before us miraculously by raising different people to talk to us. More so, we are thankful for our dear brother James, who have been laboring with us all those days past, teaching us more about Jesus, the apocryphal that teaches us, the last day roaring events that we have gone through in the books of Daniel and Revelation through his great effort of research and passing of it on to us. We appreciate, we have learned many things through him and through his effort. And by your grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, you have revealed a number of issues that we have learned. We thank you that was your will from him. We pray that you raise other more instruments like him who take his part even if when you think we are missing him. Who will lead us in these last days and wonderful times that we can continue learning of you in a miraculous way, that when Christ comes, he finds us all ready to be taken home. Lord, in a most special way, we pray for the Vesper Online Let There Be Light Church that has managed to raise up through all these years past. And that we have learned a lot of information posted, shared physically, like we are doing. We pray that you continue strengthening the efforts of your dear servant, who dare to see that the Let There Be Light Church runs, not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of all will be saved and all who would love to hear your word. Lord, we thank you. It has made many of us what we are, and we pray that may it continue to make many of us look like you in character. Lord, we thank you for the present truth now we are sharing, that it reveals to us that there is a mighty God, a mighty hand leading us. We are here for a purpose. Let that purpose be fulfilled in us. Let your will be done in us. That as we wait for the soon coming of Jesus Christ, may we all be saved. Lord, may you show your strong hand, stand by our side in these troublous times of the last days, that Christ will be praised and your image will shine upon us in this last day, that all will see your glory. Lord, we thank you that you have always given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to lead us in every other step that we take. We pray that you continue guiding us through his mighty working among us, that we stand as peculiar special people on this earth, and that the world may see and acknowledge that you do dare have a special race that's pressing on. We pray that may we press on until we shall be victors. Lord, we thank you for all. We thank you for Jesus' sake, that we are your children. May you continue to be with us in these various days. May you stand with us as we do our part in every location we are in, that the gospel may reach the end of the world and that your kingdom may come soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you are in control, that we can leave all of our perplexities and concerns and dilemmas and frustrations at your feet, knowing that you have 1,000 different ways to bring apparent defeat into a great victory. We thank you for the grace that enables us to wait patiently upon you for your perfect timing to occur. We thank you also for your wisdom to bring to our minds different avenues that can be tested and tried to see if those are better pathways to follow than what we thought was the best. And thank you for your love and interest in each one of our lives and our welfare. Thank you also, dear Savior, for providing a way for us to be able to come directly to the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need, or just to talk and to share and to spend time in communion with our Father. We uplift our dear brother James, that you will open doors and close doors ahead of him into the part-time job that you see is best for his situation there. We pray that you will grant him wisdom, that you will touch hearts and allow them to favor him with extra benefits and things that they might not have done other words without your touching of their hearts. Continue to bless him, multiply his efforts at spreading the truth. And even in the recordings, Lord, please continue to open eyes and open hearts to understand the issues and the truths that are brought out in Daniel and Revelation. And thank you so much for doing so and allowing him to be part of our group here. We pray that you will continue to raise up more laborers and send them into thy harvest field, that many more souls can be more quickly reached with the present truth as it is in Christ, and decisions made and the end to come, and our blessed Savior return to take us home. Be with all of those who have asked for prayer, especially the dear little girl Sophie. And please take her case in thy capable hands, dear Savior, as her great physician. Please bring about a healing relief of the symptoms and a curing of the issue so that this little girl will not have to suffer with this debilitating disease for her life. And thank you for allowing thy perfect will to be done, for giving extra grace and patience and endurance and comfort to the parents, and help their faith in thee to grow and to lead them into the full understanding of present truth. We thank you for hearing and answering these prayers and many others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Well, there are any last thoughts before we close tonight, today? Please feel free to share. Well, thank you once again for another precious meeting. Grateful to have your presence, your participation, your prayers, testimonies, songs, insights, questions, answers, and everything else I haven't mentioned. May there be many more according to the Lord's will. To God be the glory. And in the process, keep looking up.
I'll find the key yet. Hey, look, here's the image I mentioned. This one has a camera that works. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.